This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
Welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios. This week, it is time once again for our holiday beer tasting show. Brian, we're calling this the Beer Guys Radio Interfaith Holiday Craft Beer Spectacular Extravaganza.
And charcuterie.
Yeah. Yes. So this is our fifth or sixth year, I guess.
I think so.
Maybe our seventh. Sixth?
Probably.
We'll have to look. We've been doing it a while.
Yeah.
I guess is the point. We've been doing it a while, sitting around, trying some beers. And Brian, I'm Tim Dennis. You're Brian Hewitt.
Yes, Tim, I am. It's officially the most wonderful time for a beer. We will blind taste through over a dozen. I think we got 14 holiday-themed beers. Joining us in this exploration of spices and festive liquid warmth, we have Michael Syrop and Ron Mitchell with Rainy Day Brewery. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks for the gefilte fish.
Yes, we talked about it last time they were in the gefilte fish. We haven't tried it. This is Interfaith, man.
Yeah.
This is Interfaith. That's why we've got these great snacks from our Jewish friends. I don't know anyone who's listening's opinion on gefilte fish, but I can tell you, I dig it.
I like anything that I can put horseradish on, and I didn't even know it existed, but horseradish with beets is one of my new favorite condiments.
And it fits a beer snack. You got your cracker, meat, you know, the horseradish, get you a beer with it, you're good to go. Hanukkah to me.
Do they put big jars of the gefilte fish on bars? Because they totally should. You just grab out
the pickled eggs.
It's very German. It is a very German dish.
Okay.
I'm sure that, yes, they probably.
That seems like something that could or should be done.
Have you guys ever been in a bar or convenience store that has like the pickled eggs and pickled sausage on the counter, just jar there? Because I know that's more common, I think, in more rural areas. But yeah, I've been there, and I'm not opposed to it.
Kind of, is it maybe Midwest or East Coast rural or?
Well, I've seen it in the South, and I remember seeing it when I lived in Nebraska, so I guess it would be Midwest as well. Maybe it's just a rural thing. Maybe it's just a kind of a country thing, country wherever you are.
It seems like, it may be something that's on the decline, but it seems like I did see that some places even in town. I think I've seen stuff on counters and it's disappeared. Like I have vague recollections of seeing
that. Any gas station with only two pumps is required to have
them. They have to balance it out
there.
Yeah.
Pickled eggs
next to the boiled peanuts.
That's right. P-NUTS. Save one letter
correct
in the way you spell it. But all kinds of holiday beers. And Brian, we're going to talk as we go through the show about some drinking traditions at the holidays and different things. And you discovered something recently, beer nog. What the heck is beer nog?
So I've never heard of this, but it was mentioned actually today on Twitter. It was under the name Crammable. Anyway, it's short. It's alternately known as beer nog. It's basically two parts of eggnog with one part strong or dark ale and maybe half a shot of bourbon, dark rum or brandy. So that's something that people have been drinking for a while. And I had no idea this was a thing. And we just did a beer cocktail show and I looked all over the place for ideas of things to do that would be, you know, relevant to the show and relevant to the season. And I didn't see this until just today. So,
you don't have any nog with you to try
this? I don't know. I seriously, this came out of nowhere. I'm like, well, you know what? I get it. I get that could be a thing because isn't it? Eggnog is just made with rum. I guess so you could substitute some of that rum for a strong dark ale. And have some good results. And apparently, so, you know, it kind of like a Doppelbach or something in that vein would do well with it. But apparently you can do them with IPAs, too. They just say they recommend you add something like a little maple syrup or simple syrup to help balance out the bitterness that'll happen. So apparently that's a good thing. And I really do want to try that.
Eggnog with strong dark ale.
Yeah.
And a little shot of whiskey or brandy sounds good to me.
Yes.
The IPA one does not sound good at all in the least. Would you guys drink that? Would you drink an IPA and eggnog together, Ron?
Would you drink eggnog, period?
I like the dark fits.
Yeah.
Not an IPA. No. I'd go with the dark.
Yeah.
You wouldn't try the other one?
A stout.
I would try anything, but I don't know that I would enjoy it.
No. That's just wrong.
I'm not convinced it would be good. Well, I'm skeptical about that, but apparently it does hold up well.
What if it was a cold IPA?
According to who?
Oh, if it's a cold IPA. If it was IPA, an IPL, well, then
maybe. You know, if it was an IPL.
How cold is it?
Right. So yeah. Our beer tasting, though, Brian, the methodology here, if you want to call it that, between each segment, we're going to taste about four beers. We'll come back. We'll talk about them a little bit more about what we thought of each beer. At the end of the show, we'll reveal all of the beers we drank, and we'll give our favorites there.
Yes. So, yeah.
Should we talk about the beers we're going to drink now? Maybe people will be bored sitting here the whole time listening along, having no idea what we're drinking.
Well, we could mention the ones we've gone over. Why don't
you go ahead and tell the list? Give the full list.
The full list.
Hey, that's my job. Let me see. That's mine.
Well, then it's time for the beers of the week, because that's what that is.
Brian, thank you. It is time for the beers of the week. And, Brian, we want to thank our friends at The Nest for sponsoring this segment. Barbecue craft beer downtown Kennesaw, Georgia. If you're in the area, make sure to check them out. Our beers of the week, Brian, running down the list here, we've got American beers and Belgian beers and basically anything that we thought fit the holidays. It didn't have to be a certain style or anything. We just picked up basically whatever we thought we would enjoy at the holidays, or if they were specifically marketed as a holiday beer. So with that said, the list, these are not in tasting order. We have our friend Nathan Donner, the kebab, like the party, like the reindeer.
Yes.
Nathan Donner is here. We would like to thank him. He's doing the pouring for us and mixing them up so we don't know which ones we're getting. But in the mix, we will have 21st Amendment's Fireside Chat. We have Abita's Christmas Ale. We have Anchor Christmas Ale, Bell's Christmas Ale, Bold Monk Leon, which is a beer de Noel. We have Delirium Noel, Highlands Cold Mountain. We have Nice Shoof, Rogue Santa's Private Reserve, Samuel Smith's Winter Welcome. We got a little Shiner Cheer up in here, Sierra Nevada Celebration, Southern Tier 2 Xmas, and, of course, a little St. Bernardus Christmas Ale.
You got it.
So yeah. We've got a good list of holiday beers to get into. Guys, how many of these do you think you'll be able to pick a lot of these out?
I would say a third to a half, I would hope to get.
Okay. Right. We've tasted four so far. And in the first round, how many do you think you can pick out of those first four?
These are tough.
They were.
These
I
are
agree.
Tough to pick out, but I feel like as we taste more and I eliminate other ones,
okay,
I'll
fair
be
enough.
Able to pigeonhole these.
All right. Now, in our first round, we had some decent variation.
We did.
In the styles there. Out of the first four that we've tried, what was your favorite and what qualities did it have that you liked?
I would say my favorite was number one. The first thing with that was I liked the nose. So it instantly had a positive impression for me. But I got it. It was creamy. I got a little caramel note, but it wasn't too sweet. And then I got hops in the finish. So
okay. Any guess as to what that one is?
Too soon. Too soon. Although it's based on the color. I'm thinking it's one of the winter ales.
Okay, gotcha. Ron, how about you? What was your favorite in the mix there?
Well, I would go with one and four. And I got the same kind of tasting notes as Michael did on number one. I got a nice alcohol on the nose, but it didn't drink. Too hard, too okay. heavy. Number two and three, didn't like at all. The four had a nice peppery note, coriander maybe, something like that, which wasn't my favorite overall, but I could deal with it.
Okay. I'm going to buck the system here. Number three was my favorite in there. And to me, it kind of tasted as a Christmas in a glass. Like I got some notes of cookie, like a sugar cookie, maybe some plum. I got a little sweet fruity aroma on it and even a little bit of pininess, like maybe a Christmas wreath there. So it was the whole shebang, whole holiday in a glass. How about you, Brian?
I might be agreeing with you on three. Three and one were I was very happy about. Three just straight up smelled like candy. It's like tasted like cookie frosting, a little bit of spices, kind of fruity. I think I probably favor three over one, but it's close.
Okay.
I'm debating it.
All right. Still a lot of beers to go.
Correct.
So we'll get it figured out. You are listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show, and we will be back very soon to taste more holiday beers.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's the perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day. So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand. So if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on the Podcast Park and all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to the holiday craft beer extravaganza, spectacular, wonderful charcuterie.
Do not disrespect the name of this event.
I will so much. Every time I come in.
I can't even right now. Brian, I want to back up a little bit and share some stats.
Yes.
On the beers we're drinking. So when we look across the 14 beers we have average ABV. What do you think? Michael, what do you think our average ABV is here?
Just because I'm thinking that these are Christmas ales, I'm going to go 8%.
You know, pretty close. 7.6. 7.6. So we're good on there. And Ron, what do you think our average IBU is?
I just looked.
Like you that. Just, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, okay. No more questions. No more questions.
They're just looking at them.
So average IBU is 65 is what we've got here. Average rating.
Actually, Brian, 24. The average is 24.
Oh, we're looking at top. I'm the looking, highest. I'm reading wrong. Okay. The highest is average there. Brian, you said rating. Am I assuming this is pulled from Untappd?
I pulled this off Untappd.
Okay. So Untappd ratings, take it for what you will. The average across all of these is 3.8. The top on the high end here, the highest ABV we have is 10%. The highest IBU we have is 65. When I read 65 as average, I thought that was high. So
that doesn't it was. High. Yeah.
And average or the high rating for any of these is a 4.27. Styles we have 7 winter ales. We have 2 winter warmers and others. We got 5 in the mix here. I did misquote a little bit earlier when I said just from the USA and Belgium. We do have 10 US beers. We have 3 Belgian beers, Belgian, and 1 from the UK. We got all
Samuel Smith
yeah. in the mix there. So from the U.S. to break down the regions a little bit, 4 coming from the West Coast, 4 coming from the South. And we've got 1 each coming from the Midwest and the Northeast region.
So it's good representation. Here. Actually, it's South and West Coast with just a touch of other stuff. So, there. Yeah, it's not even intentional. It just happens to be what's available
just
here.
Just the way it is. Yeah. Just the way it is. Well, we just tasted through. Four more of our holiday beers. And I got to admit, I had one in this mix that jumped very clearly to the front of the line for me so far out of the mix rotation. Brian, I'll start with you this time. What'd you think of our second round of tastings?
You know, I think that it's really close for me. 8 and 5 are running really close for my favorite overall for both. For the entire 8 that we've gone through, I might be leaning towards 5. I will have to review that, but I have a guess as to what 5 might be, but I'm not 100% sure because 8's really, really close. I think both of them are probably from Belgium.
What do you think number 5 is?
I was thinking it might be St. Bernardus.
Okay. That was, I thought that I as well. That. You told me you thought I was wrong.
No, on 5?
No, that was a different one.
It was a different one.
Yeah. That was a different one.
And I'm not sure, but I suspect that possibly 8, if 5 is in fact St. Bernardus, 8 may well be Aschuf's Nice Schuf.
Okay.
Possibly. Good enough. But I haven't had it recently enough to know for sure. Well, you know, I have had it recently. I just don't remember.
Fair enough. That happens. Ron, what's your opinion on round 2 here?
My 2 top were 5 and 8. On a scale from 1 to 5, I went 4 on a number 5 and 4.5 on number 8. On number 8, the phenolic had a nice phenolic smell, dark fruits, plum smell, taste. I think Michael pointed out an orange marmalade without being sweet. It was very well rounded. Lots of different flavors coming through. Did not like number 6. I think our consensus was bologna. Or cat food or some sort of wet meat,
which is not typically what you're looking for in your beer.
No.
Yeah. I was pointing out that there is the tradition of the Christmas sausage. I think that not everybody's heard of this.
Boom. They're like, it's a Christmas beer.
It's right. Christmas beer. The sausage beer.
So, Ron, out of that round, are there any you think you can guess what they were?
No.
Okay. Fair enough, man. Fair enough. Michael, what is your take on round two there?
Overall, every beer in round two is better than every beer in round one, in my opinion.
Okay. Okay.
I just thought it was a much stronger group. I'm going to kind of follow the trend here, but I think 8 was just an outstanding beer. I felt like it had a lot going on, but you could pick it all out. It wasn't muddled. It was clean. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm going to be the outlier here, but I liked 6. I really enjoyed it.
That's why those beers, everybody for something for everyone.
That had a lot of really good phenolics to it. So no guesses as to 7, which was the super chocolatey Tootsie Roll beer.
I honestly have no. Oh, 7. No, I don't have a guess there.
I'm wondering if that happens to be the Rogue Santa's Private Reserve, because it's the one stout we have on the list.
All right.
And that's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, of all of them, this one seems most likely to be that. And if so, nice job with the chocolate notes. And I was tasting it again. I'm wondering, like, is that all directly from the malt, or do they doctor it a little bit?
Yeah.
How many Tootsie Rolls did they throw in?
Exactly. Just how many Tootsie Rolls did you use?
All of them. Every single one they had.
Yep. Ron, I think, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, does Friday start Hanukkah or Monday, the 18th? They're having to Google it.
Quickly, text your mom.
But it starts soon, correct? Okay.
It starts Monday.
Monday. See,
it's technically Sunday night because holiday started Sunday.
Sunset. Are there do you have holiday drinking traditions in the Jewish faith? Is there any traditional beverages you go to?
Wines are very
That's gin and tonic. gin and tonic and wine, the traditional.
The gin and tonica. I've heard about this. It's in a song.
My grandpa drank.
That's what they powered that menorah with that lasted the 8 days.
Yeah.
I don't think people know that.
It'll keep you going.
Tito's in the menorah. Unscrew one of the candles and kick it back there.
I had no idea that Tito's was sold.
You had one shot. You stayed drunk for 8 days.
That's it. Yeah.
Sign me up.
Are there any other, what are your favorite Hanukkah what are your favorite traditions through the holidays here? Now, you guys play both sides of the fence, right? Do you both celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah?
Yeah, both of us are married to women who are not Jewish.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
All right.
Yeah, even growing up, we did both.
Yeah, that's
Hanukkah was the predominant, but we had a little tiny Christmas tree about this high.
Uh-huh.
When my mother's mother would come over, it would disappear in the closet.
We were straight Hebrew.
For growing up, that was you? Okay.
I mean, even my kids, who obviously are half Jewish, but they knew all the prayers in Hebrew that we say over the candles on Hanukkah and stuff. And they loved it. As little kids, they loved lighting the candles, singing in Hebrew, having no idea what they were saying.
But they jumped in and got in the spirit. That's cool. All right. Well, just in general, other than the wine and that, are there any drinking traditions in the Jewish faith? Are there any beers? Is it any traditional Jewish beers?
Hebrew?
Yeah, Hebrew by Schmaltz. Yeah, I think that's
I don't even think they're around anymore, right?
I saw a news item.
Contract or gypsy or something
that? So the owner sold Schmaltz, I believe, to a rabbi. And that's news that just came out, I think, this week. And I happened to see it. I happened to remember it. And I believe he's got a different company and Alphabet Brewing Company, I think it's what it's called. So he's got his own thing. He sold off the Schmaltz brand, and I believe, from what I saw, to a rabbi. So
they need to get Modest Yahoo to open his checkbook and help out there.
I don't know. Is Modest Yahoo a rabbi? I have no idea. Like, I know he's a musician,
I'm like, Jewish. Could he be both? I'm saying they need to. I didn't say he was a rabbi.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm saying maybe he has.
Maybe he is. I don't know.
I'm just putting it out there. It's possible.
It is possible. I don't know why we went that direction with it, okay. Either. All right. Brian, some of the styles here. So you've looked up some info. We're almost out of time for this segment. Fired off. What is a winter warmer?
So it's a big malt presence. It's brownish to red, black. It's sometimes spiced, frequently not. Spicing is more of a recent thing. Like a winter ale is more of a catch-all category, and it's very popular with the Belgian style of beers. And the Yeah, they can be non-traditional beers. They tend to have higher alcohol heat and fall into the category. And winter ale and winter warmer, they're kind of used interchangeably. But for whatever reason, the Belgian folks prefer winter ale.
Most winter ale, Christmas ale, holiday ale, all of that, it's fairly loose, right? Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Good stuff. I like it that way. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back very soon with more holiday beers. The heat is on, and if you're looking for a beer to cool you down without slowing you down, Athletic Brewing has you covered with Athletic Light. It's certified organic with only 25 calories and 5 grams of carbs, and since it's non-alcoholic, you stay sharp and avoid the hangover. And you can feel good about the beer you drink and the company that brews it. Athletic Brewing is a certified B Corporation committed to social and environmental excellence. Use code BGR25 at athleticbrewing.com for 25% off your order. Athletic Light, the perfect summer crusher.
Have you been to the Nest Kennesaw yet? Hi, I'm Adam, owner of the Nest in historic downtown Kennesaw, and I want to personally invite you to visit us. With the best damn barbecue in town, 48 taps of always rotating craft beers, a dog-friendly patio, all in two conjoined historical homes, we know there's something for you at the Nest Kennesaw. Find us at thenestkennesaw.com to start drooling over that menu, or go ahead and grab your friends, your family, or just yourself and come on in for a pint. The Nest Kennesaw, can't wait to have you at our table.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences, the bum's lost.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, KENN 1390 AM and 92.1 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. Catch Beer Guys Radio and KENN every Saturday at 10 p.m. Now, let's get back to the Interfaith Holiday Craft Beer Spectacular and Charcuterie Plate.
Fine. Yes. I'll allow that one. Good times, man. We just tasted a few more beers here, and we did three that time. We've been doing four, but we're breaking it up a little bit to balance out the numbers and slow the pace a little bit. I'm going to start by saying this was probably my least favorite round, and it had one in it that I think all you guys are big fan guys of, but I know I'm the odd man out, but two of them were very hoppy. Two of that round were very hoppy and bitter hoppy, not just hoppy, but had the bitterness in there. So not my thing. Number 10, I didn't get anything that stuck out to me flavor profile-wise, but I enjoyed the beer.
Number overall. 10 you didn't?
On number 10. Nothing jumped out at me there.
Was that one of the ones you thought was hoppy?
No, 9 and 11 were the ones that I thought were very hop forward.
I wonder if I got mine backwards, because 10 is the one that came off to me as the very wreath, tastes like a Christmas wreath, smells like a Christmas wreath, rather hoppy.
Yeah.
Where were you guys at? Was it 9 or 10 was the...
I got it on 10. I got the pine saw.
Yeah, the smell. Pine saw one. Yeah, yeah.
Not on the taste, but on the nose. I didn't get a whole lot of hop on that, though. To me, number 9 was probably my favorite. It also had a hop presence. It didn't have a lot of spice to it. Nice and dry. And then the one when I said maybe I would get one beer right, I think we all picked... Number 11.
Yeah, let's throw that out there. I think number 11, Celebration.
I also
and
agree
with that. I don't dig Celebration, just not my cup of tea. So
I liked it.
I'm a fan.
I like it.
I enjoyed that a great deal. I like 10 a lot. And that's the one that had all of that fun, like a little medicinal, like that the pine salt aroma. And I kind of taste that. I also got a little bit of chocolate. I did really enjoy, I think I enjoyed 10 more than 11.
I got a little medicinal note, but I didn't notice like the pininess. Like
really? Okay. Because I think maybe I couldn't escape the aroma. And again, the nose is where a lot of the flavor receptors are, or like heavily influences your flavor is. So I couldn't help but smell and taste the pine in that.
I just asked for another sample of that one to see if I was mixed up. I do not get pine. I get chocolate and
a taste of chocolate.
Medicinal.
Really? Okay.
That's what I got.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Okay. And so we're
peppery. When I taste it again, it's peppery.
Peppery. Okay. Yeah.
So that's what I get there.
How about that? Okay. So some of us
get. There we go. All right, end of the show. Do you get this? Yeah, end of the show. Get another smell of that. See if you're getting chocolate there.
Pine salt.
Just pine. See, I don't get pine salt.
Yeah, that's
Brian. All right. Let's see. Let me smell it again. Your pine salt there.
Yeah, I'm getting some of it. It's not as intense as before. Before it was like unmissable.
Okay,
it smells like yeah. I get it. I get the wreath.
My wife just put around the house.
I get a little
to make it smell like the holidays. Yes. No, it smells like the holidays.
So I do smell a little of the chocolate in there, but I also smell like a wreath, like a holiday wreath or something.
I need
but
a beer that tastes like that smells like those cinnamon brooms that they put out this time of year. So
man, you would never stop tasting it because those brooms, once they open them up, it's like four straight weeks of everything around it smelling like.
Walk to the produce section of the grocery store and you're
wrecked. I'm like, well, is this produce any good? I have no idea. I can't smell anything. Yeah.
Well, Brian, so that was that round. Again, that wasn't my favorite round. I didn't really dig what was coming up in those, but we discuss these every year, Brian, in case anyone missed from the previous year, we want to talk about it again. We talked about this last week on our beer cocktail show a little bit, but we've got Wassail and Lamb's Wool, our holiday beverages. And just quickly, so we don't go into it too much, what are those?
So I based upon our conversation, I dug into it a little bit and double checked. It looks like Lamb's Wool is actually a subcategory or version of Wassail. And the big thing that identifies the Lamb's Wool is that they bake the apples. And basically, they can be cider, hot malt punch that could be made from malt cider, ale, wine, or spices. And it is frequently consumed from a communal bowl called a wassail bowl. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this. They pass around a giant bowl of hot beer, basically hot beer punch.
No, but I'd be down for it.
Would you be down for it?
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know if they still do this or if this is something that died back in the days of yore or if this is something that died as a result of COVID. But my understanding is from the stuff I've read recently is they don't do that for sanitary reasons anymore. But people just this giant punch bowl with handles, they pass it around, everybody take a hit off of it. Yeah, that's what I was saying last week. It's like just give me a straw because Trader Vic's, not Trader Joe's, that's the place where you buy groceries. Trader Vic's has I think it's a scorpion bowl with like super long straws, and you get like four of them. And people just finish off a big old rum drink. So that seems sanitary enough, right?
There's never backwash from a straw.
No, never, never.
It's a long straw, so it takes a while to get.
It does, and by the time it starts to get back there, you're like, oh, I'm ready for more. So you pull it back in.
When you were young. You'd kiss a stranger in a bar. Now you're worried about backwash from your friends. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. So the one that we didn't really get into as much last week and probably in the past is the Flip or the Yard of Flannel. It is a drink that incorporates ale, sugar, spices, and eggs. It was originally fortified with rum, brandy, or whiskey. And to do it right, this is the one that requires a hot metal rod being shoved into it. So you have to, it's a very involved process because of the eggs. You can't go above a certain temperature and there's all tempering thing, but it's important that you put the hot rod in there. And apparently if you do it right, it comes out tasting like liquid cookie dough. So anyway, so that's called a Flip or a Yard of Flannel. It was called a Yard of Flannel because when they were pouring this thing to mix it from mug to mug, apparently it looked like an entire yard of liquid flannel. So that was kind of neat.
Nate has a project for 2023. We need to have a yard of flannel.
We need a yard of flannel.
Yard of flannel.
I love this idea. I got to try this, although it involves a lot of cooking, to make this thing. So
it'd be fun.
Yeah,
it'd
be
fun
to give it a shot. It'd be great.
For sure. Man, all kinds of good stuff. Brian, have you glue creaked this year?
I haven't. It's on my list of things I want to do, but I didn't last year, so I'm gonna try to. And I think when I've done it in the past, I may have done it wrong because I don't think you're supposed to add like an apple cider base to it. So I think instead of doing like a glue creek, I was closer to a wassail with a.
You did add cider to yours?
I think I did. Okay, yeah, gotcha. It's been a few years though, so maybe a little bit of honey, but you heat it up, put some spices in. I did see that if you're making these, they recommend instead of using like any kind of a powdered spice that I've seen done before, you don't do that. Use whole spices because the powder stuff will leave a weird, muddled, ugly flavor. It doesn't separate well.
You know what they do with some like cloves is you can take an apple or an orange and stick them in the fruit.
Oh, that's a good
and
idea.
Then mull it in there because it stays in the fruit that way. And so it keeps them from getting down in your stuff. You could probably do that with nutmegs if you wedge them in there far enough.
Sure.
Whole eggs, chicken eggs, if you want.
Probably.
Them in a pineapple. I wedge think so. It in there. Yes. Some hot dogs.
Trust
sucks. Whatever. Wait,
are these still spices? Oh, you know the Christmas sausage. I forgot.
Did you went to a Chris Kendall market and you found a non-alcoholic glue wine there, right?
Yeah, I assume it was just heated wine with spices. And, oh no, it couldn't be like alcoholic.
Not if it was
wine.
NA.
Yeah, I don't know how they accomplished it. It tasted like.
Well, they make NA wines. Did it taste winey?
It tasted like a glue wine.
A mulled wine.
Huh? It did, and I never really thought about it, but it's kind of impressive they pulled that off. Of course, when they do that, they're going to sweeten it up with honey or something like that. So maybe the body given to that by the honey would cover the fact that there's not alcohol in it. I'm not sure.
I think that may be the trick with, I know with spirits, you really have to make a cocktail because they don't taste like the spirit.
Correct.
The non-alcoholic ones. Maybe that's the thing with the wine is if you mull it and spice it or, you know, make a wine cocktail, a sangria, a glue wine, maybe that hides the NA a little bit more.
I was just thinking that all of the NA alcohol that's out there, the spirits, maybe what they really need to do, because they're not trying to add calories to it, they might need to just add sugar
it
just
up,
just to cover it up, you know, dial back in the capsaicin that they're adding to give it the bite and just dial up the sugar and give it some body. And you
in
might,
wine, they don't put capsaicin in wine.
No, I'm in spirits.
In the spirits.
The non-alcoholic spirits.
Oh, to give sugar it in the spirits.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. That's gotcha. What I was thinking.
Fun. So many things they could do with it, Brian.
Indeed.
You are listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more holiday beers.
It's Brian and Tim, the Beer Guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the Beer Guys sent you.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now let's get back to the holiday fantastic interfaith.
Just stop
interchange.
Talking. Okay. Just stop talking.
All right. I lost.
I can't believe that you can't remember the Beer Guys Radio Interfaith Holiday Craft Beer Spectacular Extravaganza.
And charcuterie plate. Yes, I remember.
Keep throwing that in. All we got is fish and crackers.
That's charcuterie. That's fish and crackers. And horseradish. And horseradish. Two types of horseradish. This is a very fancy charcuterie plate.
It is. So we did it, guys. We're at the finish line here. We're going to list our favorites, our top picks, and we're going to reveal what the beers were that we tasted.
Exciting.
In order. So it'll be a good time. We're going to start with our guests. And guys, once again, thanks for joining us. We always love having you here. It's always a good time. Ron, tell us your top three and why.
My top three were number 8, number 9, and number 13. Still
okay.
Don't know which ones those are, but they were not overly spiced. They were more simple Belgian style beer to me. And that's what I like.
All right. Gotcha. Good deal. I'm going to make a note of everybody's number one here so I can come back and chat with you about it. Michael, what are your top three?
My number one was number 14. My number two was number 13. And my number three was number 8.
What was your number one again, sir?
Number 14.
14. Okay. Why'd 14 take the spot for you there?
It just had this nice balance to me. I just, a few different flavors. I got a peach note, a citrus note, a little mintiness in the finish, and each one just, you know, it just flowed one into the other. I just really like the balance on that.
Good deal. Good stuff. Brian, how about you, man?
So number 5 was kind of the runaway hit for me. It had really good aged sherry, kind of like sitting in old library notes to it that I really enjoyed. Number 8 was, I was just sipping a second round of that. It's just such great, delicious Belgian quality. It's very rich. It's got all the fun stuff I'm looking for there. And I really enjoyed the oddity, the interestingness of number 10, that pine sol aroma. It had some chocolatiness to it. I enjoyed drinking that. And when I was taking my notes, I'm like, wow, I really enjoy this. It was really good beer. So that's why I like those. Two of them, one for the undeniable, like it tastes aged, which I didn't think any of our beers were older than anything, you know, so that
had
leaves
a little vintage character.
Yeah,
to it
a little bit. Right? And I really enjoyed that out of it. How about you, Tim? Are we on to you?
We can go to me. So my number one was number five.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that one a lot. And let me find my notes. I flipped some pages here and lost my notes. But on number five, I noted that it had a big chocolate aroma, definitely Belgian character to it. I got a toffee note and sweet cherry, and everything in it seemed quite balanced to me. You had to really dig to pull those flavors apart because they were very well melded together there. But I just thought around the holidays, that's what I want in my glass.
Oh, yeah.
That is exactly what I want there. So I really dug that one. Nate, you don't have a mic, but I want to know, remind me again, you're number one. Nate also took number five. And Nathan, I've got Nathan's. Nathan's number one. And thanks again, Nathan, for pouring for us. We always appreciate you coming and helping us out here. His was number five. His number two was number eight. And his number three was number 13.
So am I hearing that number five was kind of a runaway hit?
Four of us chose number five as our number one.
Okay. So that's...
Do we have any guesses here as to what number five was? Brian, do you got a guess?
I was going to say... Boy, I don't know. I was going to say St. Bernardus, but I'm not sure that's right because I don't think that was necessarily that. Would that be like... Is that maybe the Bold Monk? Possibly.
It is Bold Monk Leon Beer de Noël.
Because it tasted like there was a similarity between a lot of the other ones, and that one had just a touch of something.
So here we go. It is Bold Monk Leon Beer de Noël. Comes in a nice, I think this is a 500 ml bottle.
It looks like
that we've got here, but a really nice presentation. Brian, in our Oktoberfest tasting and in our Christmas beer tasting, we had Georgia Beers take the number one spot. We promised, for other than Nathan did see what he poured, so he... I don't think he was biased by what was poured here, but the rest of us tasted it blind tasting there. But hey, we must be doing some good things here in Georgia.
And that was one of the one-off styles. That's actually, it's not a winter warmer. That's just a Belgian quad. So,
yeah.
And I don't know how, what
it's a Beer de Noël.
Oh, Beer de, well, okay. Beer de
that's
Noël.
What he says. Right. That's what he says.
Is
Leon Beer de
Noël. What is it Leon
it
backwards?
It is. Oh,
that's why it's called Leon.
Good stuff, man. Good
I wonder
stuff.
If the age that I detected in that is because did it spend time in barrels or is it an older beer? I'm not 100%
sure.
What's
it say there, Brian, on that label? I don't have my glasses with
Belgian inspired quad aged in dark rum barrels with cocoa nibs. Well, there's the chocolate that we all got.
Yeah,
bottle conditioned, 9.7% ABV. Bottle December 2020. So I was correct. There
vintage.
Is
vintage.
This is a vintage beer.
Vintage.
That's probably why it took my number one spot.
Was that just recently released, or did we pull that out of the cellar?
It's been around. No, Mike Nate's saying he's had it for a bit. So,
okay, we broke the rules there then a little bit. We don't put vintage beers in there, but we'll allow
usually
it this
not,
year.
But
we'll allow
that was
it
a good beer. That was a really good beer. I'm glad we did it.
It was tasty. Absolutely. So any guess there? So our cumulative number two here was number eight. Any guesses there? What that was.
I was already told I was wrong. I said St. Bernardus, but
I mean, good guess. You're in the neighborhood. You're in the right country.
I said Valerium.
You're correct. That was Valerium Noël.
I was thinking, I wrote Nice Shoof down, but I was curious about that. I didn't think that was probably right. So Delirium.
Delirium Noël for that one. And our third winner, we have a tie there. We got a two-way tie between Highlands Cold Mountain, which was number nine, and the St. Bernardus Christmas Ale, which was number 13. So that's what we got there. So Dal, to run down the entire list for those that have stuck with us this long to hear what we've got going on, this is in our tasting order. Number one was the Samuel Smith's Winter Welcome. Number two was the 21st Amendment Fireside Chat. The third beer we tried was Shiner Cheer.
Got that right.
The fourth beer we tried was the Bell's Christmas Ale. Number five, again, was the Bold Monk. Number six was the Nice Shoof. The seventh one was the Rogue Beer Santa's Private Reserve.
Got that one right, too.
Eight, again, was Delirium Noël. Number nine was our Highland Cold Mountain. Number 10 was the Southern Tier 2 Xmas. 11 was the Sierra Nevada Celebration, which we talked a little bit. That may not be the best one to throw in a holiday beer show.
Yeah, it's pitched as a holiday beer, but especially this year, I was drinking it, and I'm like, well, I like this. I like this beer a lot, and I need no excuse to drink it, but I'm like, I think the only reason this says holidays is because it's always released during
around
or
the
at
holidays.
The holidays.
An early part.
Celebration. Yeah. It's a celebration of hops near the holidays. It's not really a holiday beer.
It works out. Yeah. It works out there. But number 12, there was Anchor Christmas. Again, 13 was the St. Bernardus. In 14, you had the Abita Christmas Ale there. So other ones that got votes here, Shiner Cheer took third. For two people. Again, the Bold Monk was kind of our runaway there with 11 total votes. And the way we count it, your first place beer is worth 3 points. Your second place worth two. Your third place worth one. And with, amongst the six of us, that got 11 total points there.
I wonder if we should introduce something where you have one strike where you can take away a point. Like, I hate this beer.
No, we shouldn't. Moving on.
Okay.
There.
All right. So, never mind. Never mind.
The Rogue, Rogue Santa's Private Reserve, it had 2 points there. Cold Mountain got a total of 4 points. The Southern Tier had 2 points there. San Bernardus did have 4 points in the Abita with three. So that's our holiday beer show. That's what we've got happening.
It's year. Interesting that the two Xmas, as I recall, placed top three last year. And
I think it did.
Yeah. It didn't do as well this year. I was really excited to try it again. And I didn't catch which one it was when we went through it, but it did not stand out to me this year like it did last year.
We apologize for No Mike Nate slipping in a vintage beer on because our intentions are to let you know beers you can go pick up for the holidays. And if we're pulling something out of the cellar from 2 years ago, that doesn't do you any good. So what was our number two? I just can't believe he pulled that one over on me. Yeah. You allowed it, Brian.
I didn't know. I did.
So what was our number two, guys? What landed in our overall number two spot here? I forget already.
I actually forgot. You've got the list.
Delirium.
Delirium
Noel. Oh, yeah. Go out and get you some Delirium Noel. Do you happen to know, Nate, do you know if they have any there at Bold Monk? No idea. He just plays like, let's drink this, man. Let's do it. So
Hold on. Donner says we got it. It says it's there. So you can run out and do it.
All right. So the other Nathan says, you know what? If you're in the Atlanta area, Bold Monk has great food anyhow, and it's a really, really cool vibe.
Yes,
so if you can make it to the area, go by the brew pub, grab a bite to eat, see if they got some Noel rocking. Leon, Beer de Noel.
Beer de Noel. Leon is Noel backwards.
Be a good time. But y'all, I think we're getting close to the end there. We've about used up all our time. Guys, what's everybody doing for the holidays this year? Any big plans through the holiday season, Ron?
I'm headed to Richmond for my grandson's first birthday.
First birthday. Good stuff, man.
Congratulations.
Is this your first grandson?
First and only.
Oh, very cool, man. Very cool.
So far.
Michael, how about you?
Actually, New Year's, Ron and I and our wives and a couple other couples, we're going up to Lake Lure in North Carolina.
All right.
About half an hour east of Asheville.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Brian, you got any plans yet?
I think I'm going to St. Simon's Island at some point. Yeah, I think so. But other than that, no real big plans. So I've yet to book any of that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going. I don't know. We'll find out real quick.
It's soon, man.
It'll be soon.
Well, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. This about wraps up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're taking off next week for the holidays. We'll be back with one more show before the end of the year. Our year in review, Brian.
We're going
to talk about 2022 year in review. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great week. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.